If you have your Bibles, would you open up to Romans chapter 6? Romans chapter 6. And as I stand here before you this morning, I have to admit something. Earlier today, about an hour or so ago, I see Ashley for the first time after, because she came here early and she's doing worship team, so she came early to practice, and so I saw her for the first time once I was fully ready and dressed, and I walk in, and she's going to hit me later for this, but anyway, I walk in, and she goes, "You tucked your shirt in," and I instantly, everybody knows what I'm feeling, right? Because you guys know, I don't tuck my shirt in, it's weird, right? This is strange, okay? So anyway, she goes, "You tuck your shirt in," and immediately, I didn't hear what she said next. What she said next was, "It looks good," right? But I didn't hear that. All I heard was she saying, "You tucked your shirt in," right? Instantly, I'm just so uncomfortable. And if you watched me this last, hour or so, I was putting my coat on, taking my coat off, putting my coat on, trying to decide. I was like, I'll just wear it while I preach. But then I was like, no, I can't. It's going to be too hot. Why am I telling you all this? I don't know. Actually, I do know. I do know. Because it fits with what we're talking about today. Because sometimes when we do something new, it's uncomfortable. Sometimes when we do something new, it doesn't feel quite right. We're not quite in the spot where we're kind of tugging at our shirt a little bit. We feel weird doing the new thing. And for many of us, the minute that we put our trust in Jesus, we've gone from death to life. We are completely new. We are completely changed. And so many of us, that's uncomfortable. For some of us, we have those sins that the minute we put our trust in Jesus, they're gone. We don't do them anymore. We're not tempted with them anymore. We're completely changed, completely brand new. But sometimes there's those sins that you struggled with before, and then you put your trust in Jesus, and then a week in, you're still dealing with that. Anybody there, right? Anybody know a friend who still struggles with sin, right? And the crazy thing is that it's uncomfortable, because here we are in the new life. Here we are in Jesus. We're alive to God. And we're thinking about last week, how we are reminded again and again and again. Last week, sin doesn't have dominion over us. Because we're in Christ Jesus, because we're new, sin doesn't have the power, the grip that it once held over us. We're no longer slaves to sin. But we still struggle with it. Because we're doing something new. We're trying to live a life that is new, and it's still kind of uncomfortable. It still kind of feels awkward to us. And maybe, just maybe, you have brothers and sisters in Christ that are telling you, no, it's good. You're doing what's right. Keep on fighting the good fight. Keep on resisting sin. Continue to live for Jesus. And you hear that. But maybe you don't hear that quite as loud as you hear those other friends that you have that are saying, you're just not as fun as you used to be. Why don't you want to come and do the things that we used to do? And it feels like there's this tension. It feels like there's this tug of war between your old self and the new self that you have in Christ Jesus. And what we need as brothers and sisters in Christ, as what we need as those who have left the kingdom of darkness and been transferred to his glorious kingdom of life in his Son, what we as brothers and sisters in Christ need is to be reminded of the truth again and again and again. I remember when I was an intern, a youth intern, way back in the day, and we were planning a youth group for the summer. And there was a student who came up and said, "Listen, every Wednesday we get together and we always talk about Jesus, which is good, but somehow in the night we always hear about the gospel." And me and the youth pastor were sitting there and go, "Yeah, yeah." And he goes, "You know, it kind of gets old, right? we could talk about other things, right? And the youth pastor goes, no. See, because you think it's getting old, that reminds us that we got to talk about it. The fact that you think we ought to talk about other things is a reminder that we need this more than ever. So, brother, sister in Christ, the gospel, the good news, as Romans chapter 1 puts it, the power of God for salvation, this good news that Jesus left heaven, came to earth, lived a perfect sinless life, something you and I couldn't do, went to the cross in our place, took on the shame and the guilt, the wrath of God. He took on death for us. He died, was buried, rose again from the grave. That good news gospel, we need that now and every day of our lives. Because the sinner needs that. The sinner needs to know how they can have justification. They need to know how they can have life. They need to know how they can be saved. And the saint, you and I, brothers and sisters in Christ, those who have put our trust in Jesus, we need to hear that too. You know why? Because we are so prone to forget. We're sheep that are prone to wander. We're people that get uncomfortable in our new skin, and we forget that we ought to be living a life that is pleasing to God, and we start remembering and whispering to the whispers and the lies of the old self. We need the gospel. We need the gospel because we need truth. The gospel is truth, and this truth, as it washes over us, we're reminded, we're encouraged, and it helps us to live. So, in Romans chapter 6, we pick up where we left off last week, and verse 9 says this, "We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace." Let's back up and read verse 9 again. "We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death, therefore, no longer has dominion over him." The truth of the resurrection is so important. We've been talking about this ever since Resurrection Sunday, ever since Easter. We've been talking about this, but it's, again, a truth that we need to be reminded of. The resurrection, the fact that Jesus is alive, is so important. Paul talks about the importance of the resurrection in multiple books, but especially in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He presents this hypothetical argument. He says, suppose that there is no resurrection. And this hypothetical argument, it begins ridiculous and it gets even more ridiculous because he says, okay, if there is no resurrection, then that means that Christ has not been raised from the dead. And if Christ has not been raised from the dead, well, guess what? That means that you and I are still in our sins. We're still in our trespasses. We are still dead. And if Christ has not been raised, then our faith, it is futile. We're the most pitied people of all the people. Why? Because we believe in a risen Savior. If he hasn't been raised from the dead, if he's still dead, we're saying we believe in a risen Savior who's still dead. Then, after he gets done with this hypothetical argument, he says, guess what? The good news is, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. And then he goes on in the rest of the chapter, he's explaining how you and I, we can have life, we can be alive because Christ is alive. We can have hope of resurrection because Jesus has been raised from the dead. But listen to these words that he uses towards the end of the chapter. chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, towards the end of the chapter, he says this: the first man, Adam, was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. The contrast between Adam who failed and Jesus who succeeded. Verse 48, as was the man of dust, so also are those who are of dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Listen to these words. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. Isn't that cool? I read that and I get goosebumps because I recognize that in my sin, I am just like Adam. I'm dead in my sins and my trespasses. Going back to last week, looking at this kingdom of darkness that has dominion over me. The fact that before I put my trust in Jesus, I was steeped in that sin and rebellion and death. I bore the image of the man of dust. But I put my trust in Jesus. The lost person was now found. The blind one now could see. The one who was dead was now raised to life with Christ Jesus. And I no longer bore the image of the man of dust, but now I bore the image of the man of heaven. How wonderful is that? Brother, sister in Christ, we need to know who our identity is in. We have a risen Savior. And because we have a risen Savior, that means that you and I share in His resurrection. If we put our trust in Jesus, that means that His resurrection power is within us. We bear the image of our Savior. So don't forget your identity. Don't forget who Jesus is. Don't forget who you now can be because of Him. Continuing on in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, later on, he says this: death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is going back to last week, but we don't have to give in to sin. Going back to last week, but we don't have to say that sin still has its dominion over us. Because Jesus, He has defeated sin. He has defeated death. And because Jesus has defeated sin, and because Jesus has defeated death, we look to Him and say, our wagons are hitched to His. Where He goes, I go. What He does, I get to do. And so since He defeated sin, because He defeated death, guess what? I can have victory. God's made it possible that I can have victory over sin. Why? Because He mocks sin. He mocks death. Death, where is your victory? Sin, where's your sting? No, we have victory through Christ Jesus. Therefore, my beloved brother, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The things that we do for Jesus matters. The things that we do for God matter. Let's be stable and steadfast because we have a risen Savior. We can stand strong and firm in our faith, not because of our own strength, not because of our own power. We stand strong and firm in our faith because of Him, because of what He's done. Because He's alive, we can have life. Because He's risen, we can be risen. Because He has made us new. We can keep reading on. Verse 11, back in Romans chapter 6. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is really what I've been saying already, but I'll say it again. Because Jesus is alive, we can have life. So you also, right? That word also is comparing us to, is combining us with Jesus. So He's alive. And because He's alive, we also can be alive. Does that make sense? Does that grip us a little bit? Because here's the thing. We keep reading, we get to verse 12. It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, to make you obey its passions. There's a couple things here that grip me. Right after telling us that we also can be dead to sin, alive to Christ, we also can have life because Jesus is alive, we read, "Let not sin therefore." That word therefore, it's there for a reason, right? And every pastor always says, it's there for a reason, right? We always roll our eyes, but it makes sense, right? Because these things, these ideas are connected. The fact that Jesus is alive and the fact that we can have life in Him is connected to the command not to let sin have reign. Let me put it a different way. If Jesus wasn't alive, if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then we wouldn't have life. And if we didn't have life, then we couldn't resist sin. If Jesus wasn't alive, then that means that we don't have resurrection. And if we don't have resurrection, then sin, it's still reigning in our mortal bodies. But, in fact, Jesus is alive. We've already covered that. And because He's alive, we can have life. We've already covered that. And so now the command found in verse 12 is, "Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passion." I hear those words and I immediately think about the book of James. The book of James describes sin and temptation in this way. It says this in James chapter 1, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am be tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one." Verse 14, "So therefore, what is temptation?" Verse 14, "But every person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." What's temptation? Temptation is our own desire. It's that part of us that we, remember, we're born sinners by nature and by choice. We're tempted by the things that we want to do that we ought not do because they are not of God. "Let not sin reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey its passions." I see this example of this desire to obey passions. Often when my wife Ashley, my son Eli make cookies together. And it's not because I'm needing to obey my passions to devour those cookies. That's another thing. But what I see is they're making cookies, and particularly if they're making peanut butter cookies. So they got the peanut butter jar out, and they're scooping it out, and they're putting it in. And I walk around, and I go in the kitchen, and I look down at the floor, and there's this massive puddle on the floor. I'm wondering, where is all this water coming from? And then I look up from the puddle, and I see our dog shaking and drool just coming down. And she's just drooling because she's seeing this peanut butter, and all she wants to do is to devour it. All she wants to do is to obey the passion that's within her to get this thing. Folks, that's us often, isn't it? That's how we pathetically look so often when we're confronted by sin, when we're confronted by temptation. So often when temptation looks us in the face, we just look like that dog that is just shaking and drooling and can barely contain ourselves. It's pathetic, isn't it? And I'm not just pointing the finger at you, I'm pointing at me too. Because us as human beings, we're prone to wander. We're prone to give in to our temptations. We're prone to obey the passions that are within us, our desires that are seeking to lure us away from God. These desires that are seeking to lure us back to the chains of slavery to sin. But thanks be to God, we don't have to. Yes, we'll fall down. We talked about that last week. Yes, we'll make mistakes. We know that's a reality. But in general speaking, brother, sister in Christ, we can say no to obeying the passions of the flesh, not because we're strong enough. Remember that picture? We're shaking, we're drooling, we're not strong enough. But He is. He's alive. And so we need to act as if we're alive. Because Jesus has the victory, we get to walk in victory. This command here in verse 12, let not sin therefore reign. Folks, that command wouldn't be a just command for us. It wouldn't work if you and I are reading something and we read it as a command and we know that it is impossible for us to somehow obey that command. Does that make sense? So if I tell each of you, okay, you need to get up from your chairs and stand on your head and remain standing on your head for another hour, that would not be a fair command because you couldn't do it. But God doesn't give us commands that we can't do. He gives us commands that we can do because and through Him. On our own, yeah, they're impossible. But we serve the God who says nothing is impossible. We serve the God who says, I take impossible things and I not only flip them on the head, but I make them possible through Jesus Christ. Let not sin reign in your mortal bodies. We, because of Jesus, can walk in the freshness, the newness of life. Being alive, it means that we can resist sin. Being alive means that we can say no to our desires, we can say no to our passions, and we can walk in the newness and goodness of life that He's given us. And you know what you and I are created to be and to do? In Ephesians chapter 2, it's one of the passages that really helped bring me to the Lord. But in Ephesians chapter 2, starts off and says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Then later on in verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Not a result of work so that none of us can boast. No, by grace through faith we've been saved. But then verse 10, it gives us now this purpose and meaning that we have. We haven't been saved by good works, we've been saved for good works. Verse 10 says this, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Brother, sister in Christ, if you are so weighed down by your sins, if you're so weighed down by your passions, if you're just so susceptible to giving into temptation, then you don't have time to walk in the good works that God's prepared for you, do you? If we are so concerned about surviving and going each day just trying so hard not to sin, there's no room for us to thrive. There's no room for us to live for Christ. As Paul would say in other places, as well as the writer of Hebrews would say, it's time for us to leave behind the childless things. It's time for us to leave behind these things and run to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, the one who has made us able to resist temptation. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but... Okay, we don't present ourselves as members of sin to do wrong things, bad things, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Folks, let's be tools Let's be tools for good works. Let's be instruments for righteousness. Let's allow God to work in us and through us so that the things that we do are so jam-packed full of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Those last words, but under grace, they really hit me so strongly. Because sometimes there's folks that would say, listen, we as Christians, we talk about grace too much. There's things that we ought not to do, and sometimes we think about grace, and we have this idea that grace is something that is just anything goes. We can just live however we want because God is gracious. We can do all the bad things, but God, He's so gracious. There's grace, and so good, and so therefore, because He's gracious, we can just live how we want. No. Paul says multiple times, and we looked at one of those last week, by no means. Do we continue to sin so that grace may abound? By no means. What is this verse telling us? This verse is telling us that God is so generous with His grace, and His grace, therefore, it changes us. His grace allows us to live for Him. Because we're confronted by His grace, we see His grace and we say, wow, God has forgiven me so much. God has made me so alive. I can't do anything but live for Him. God has given me new life. I can't do anything but now live it. Because God is graciously giving me forgiveness and freedom from sin, I feel this compulsion to resist sin and live for God. I now need to do good works, not as a way of being saved, but I now need to do good works in response to God's grace. The newness of life that He's given me, it now overwhelms me and causes me to want to live for Him. Maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, okay, that all sounds really heavy. I still struggle with sin. It's really hard for me to lean into God's grace. It's really difficult for me to get through Monday, much less Tuesday. Life is hard. I don't know how to take that next step. Because I try to resist sin, but I still keep failing. And I try to resist sin, but I still keep giving in. Brother, sister in Christ, we lean into His grace. And we remind ourselves of the truth of the good news of the gospel. On a daily basis, you remember that you've been bought with a price. On a daily basis, you remember what Jesus has done for you. On a daily basis, you remember that God loves you. On a daily basis, you remember that He has made you new. And because He's made you new, you don't have to go back to that old life. Because He's made you new, He's given you the ability to resist sin. On your own, you can't resist it. But because of Him, He's already given you victory over it. So brother, sister in Christ, if you can't do it on your own, that's kind of the point. We lean into Him and we say, Lord, let me be so aware of Your grace today that I don't want to do the things that I used to do. That I don't want to live the way that I used to live. Let me be so aware of Your gospel of grace that I run to You and I run to the newness of life that You've given me. He has given us the ability to walk today and tomorrow and the next day and the next. Did you recognize, there was a couple of words that I read multiple times in multiple passages, and one of them was steadfastness. You and I, we can be steadfast. You and I, we can endure because of God's grace. We can get from today to the next day because of God's grace. And unfortunately, yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable. But He's already told us the truth. And because He's given us this truth, We hold on to that truth. We hang on with all we got. And we say, Lord, remind me. When I am weak, remind me. When I'm about to obey the passions of my flesh, remind me. When I am alone and bored and frustrated, remind me. God, when I feel as though there is no other option, remind me. God, when I'm trying to self-medicate, when I'm trying to do something to make myself feel good, would you remind me that you're the only one that truly makes me feel good? When I feel as though that there's no other option, would you remind me that you're the only one that satisfies? When I feel as though I am no good, that I'm nothing, that I can't do anything but mess up, I can't do anything but sin once again, remind me that I'm new. Remind me that I'm alive because of His glorious, awesome grace. Father, thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. Lord, I thank you that we have a risen Savior who is alive forevermore. Lord, help us to remember that He's alive, and so therefore we can be alive. And Lord, let us, our identity in Christ, our identity in you, the newness of life that we have, Lord, help that to remind us that we can resist sin, that we don't have to give in to our passions, that we don't have to be lured and enticed by our old selves, but instead, we can mock sin, we can mock death. Ask them, where is their sin? Where is their sting? Where is their victory? We now have newness of life. We now have victory in Jesus. Lord, help us to live and walk in that victory. We thank you for Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, the one who sustains us through the ups and downs of life. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.